so thankful that He is faithful. Oh, how weak this man is that stands before you in this flesh. You know, our brother James last night in his statement for the baptismal, he mentioned that this declaration of being a believer in Christ, he wanted you, his family and friends, to know this, and he said, I want you to hold my feet to the fire. You know, I agree with that. Our friends and family, we want them to come to us boldly and say, wait a minute, what are you doing? I thought you were a Christian. But ultimately, it's God Almighty and His faithfulness that keeps our feet to the fire. Amen. It's His providential hand that will move somebody to come to us when we're needing to be come to and say, hey, wait a minute. What are you getting mad at that guy over there for? What are you talking about that person over there for? Why are you getting angry about that guy that just cut you off on the freeway? Aren't you a Christian? You ain't supposed to worry about those kinds of things. So, oh, how thankful we are for the faithfulness of our Lord. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Is that not correct? And He is faithful to keep that true. Oh, I'd like to ask you this morning if you would turn to the first chapter, or first book of Peter, the first epistle. For those who may be joining us for the first time for Bible study this morning, we've been traveling the path of Peter since the day the Lord passed by him on the seashore and said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they dropped everything and followed him immediately. They didn't wait around and say, oh, you know, maybe next week, Lord. No. The power of God spoke to the hearts of his chosen children, just like the power of God spoke to each and every one of us. Remember the day I was sitting over there, and some of you have heard this many times. I just can't help but say it when I can, and that's when the Lord spoke to my heart. I said, I don't know what's going on. I went to Pastor Gene and Steve Doyle and said, I don't know what's happening to me, but I got to come back here and hear more of this next week. Yeah, God's talking to your heart. Ain't it wonderful? His power of God is coming to you in the word, in the preaching of His word, and drawing us to Him. So we walked along that path where Peter had left and followed the Lord Jesus all the way through. Now we've come to the first epistle with a little bit of an understanding of what Peter has gone through before he writes this epistle. We have a lot to look at this morning, so I'm going to try to get right to it. We've been taking a deep look under this epistle, which was with much prayer for understanding, much prayer that the Lord would be pleased to open His word to us, shining the glory of His Son, because that's the purpose of reading all of God's word, seeing the glory of our Savior, He who is faithful. Seeing it in His word, shining the glory of the Son in our hearts, and this verse 5 of chapter 1 has so much that we've broken it down into five parts. In Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter is introducing himself as apostle, as Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And that's been the title of our messages. We're at number 119. And then going on in verse 2, he addresses who this letter of God that God inspired him to write is addressed to. It's addressed to the elect. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Those who God the Father had looked down through time and said, this is my son's. And my son's going to go to the cross for that one, and he's going to pay the sins for that one, and this one's going to spend eternity with me forever. Foreknowledge. Foreordained. And then in verse 3 and 4, Peter breaks out into a praise of, oh Lord, for your mercy. The same kind of praise we were just singing a moment ago. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Great are thy works, Lord. He breaks out into a praise of mercy and love, declaring the effects of that mercy and love. We are inheritors. We have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. Look with me at verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And then in verse 5, Peter declares our assurance of those promises. Our assurances of why those promises will come sure, why they're undefiled, why are they incorruptible. Because they are kept. They are these ones who these promises are made for. Look at verse 5. Those who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept. Who it is that keeps us. How we are kept. What we are kept to. And the end result of this being kept. Now this morning our focus point is through faith. We are kept by his power through faith, it says. In other words, through belief. What does John 3:16 tell us? Whosoever believeth. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. It's the whosoever. It's those that are being kept by the power of God. It's not those who, I go to church every Sunday. I'm earning it. I'm doing it. Yes, Lord, I'm doing what you say. I'm feeding the poor. It's not that. It's those who are kept by the power of God.
Amen.
We want you to go out. And, folks, I'm not putting down good works. Good works are important. Aren't you thankful that there are churches who feed the poor? Aren't you thankful that there are churches who do this and do that of charity for people? I went to a church one time where they spent the entire service preaching, okay, that's what they called it, preaching about the youth group going out and raising money in their community, purchasing an ambulance, taking it down to a small poor village in Mexico so that the poor people there would have an ambulance. Aren't you thankful for that? I am. But that's not the good news that I need to hear to cover my sins. That's great for you folks. That's wonderful for those folks down in Mexico. But I need to hear about the one who saves me from the sins that I've committed since the moment I got up this morning. And it's been a lot. As it is every day. You're kept through faith. Kept by his power through faith, through belief, through trust. Now, you know, I've got to begin the service with these two verses because these are just, I know we read them all the time. We read them all the time. Somebody told me one time that Tom Sawyer was afraid that he was going to wear out Ephesians 1. But every time I heard him read it, which was every time he got up to do the men's men's reading, every time he got up, he read Ephesians 1. And every time he did, that is such good stuff. Romans, or Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Through that very same faith that Peter's writing about, they were kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then we look. Then other familiar verses we have here, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Whew, that's some good stuff. This is the grace of God, folks. The grace of God is that we believe in him. I want to say that again. The grace of God is that John believes. How do I know I'm one of the whosoever? Because by the grace of God, he's revealed it to me in his word. I have as much confidence as we can have in the flesh, which isn't any confidence at all, that I'm saved because God has given me the belief, the ability to believe all of his word. Like Brother Norm brought out in his message last night, we don't understand all of it, but we believe it. Any man who tells you he understands God's word from cover to cover, run. Run as fast as you can. Our Lord Almighty keeps us. And He keeps us by God-given faith. It is through His gift that we are kept, and that gift comes by His power. I want to begin by looking at the book of Acts chapter 3 this morning. Turn over to Acts chapter 3 for just a moment. Acts chapter 3. Peter and John were at the porch called Solomon, and they had healed a man who was lame, an impotent man. And all that witnessed that miracle, all those who sat there, they knew who that guy was. They'd seen him. They knew he was lame. And then all of a sudden, he's dancing. He's up walking. He's got power to his legs. They watched and they saw. They witnessed the miracle. They had heard about it. Word had gone out quickly. Gone out all around. Hey, these two guys, they just healed this guy. What a miracle right there. The witnesses of the miracle they had heard about it, how the man could perform such a thing, how that men could perform such a thing, and they began to give praise to these two men, Peter and John. And thank God that one of God's preachers said, "Whoa, wait a minute." Peter stood up boldly and he declared these words. Look at verses 11 through 16 of Acts chapter 3. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering, greatly amazed. And Peter saw it, and he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this?" Whoa, wait a minute. Why are you marveling about this? "Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the very one that you say you worship, the very one that your fathers did worship, Isaac, Abraham, Jacob, and the God of our fathers hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life whom God hath raised from the dead, whom we are witnesses. And in his name, in this very one's name, the power of God and the Son of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness, and in the presence of you all." God-given faith, it says. God-given belief. God-given trust. Folks, if God gives you that faith, it's sure faith. It's sure belief. It's a sure trust. Now, don't take me wrong. It's not sure in the fact that you have that faith. Now, maybe I need to explain that a little deeper, maybe. It's not my faith that I have a surety in. It's not my trust that I am trusting in. It's not my belief that I am putting all my trust in. It's in the one that I believe in. Great is his faithfulness. Yes. Folks, you don't ever put your trust in a man who stands in a pulpit. Don't ever put your trust in anything other than the one person who you can put your trust in, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is true. He is righteous, as Brother Norm brought out last night. Perfect. Do you know that everything he did pleased the Father? "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased," he said. He is the object of our faith. He is the object of our belief. He is the object of our trust. And if God gives you faith to believe on Him, you shall be healed. Our faith is ours, yes, but it does not originate from us. No, our origin is in natural state, has no spiritual understanding at all. You see, God is spirit. We who were once dead in trespasses and sin had no knowledge of who the true and living God was. In fact, we were enemies against God, it says. Enmity. Enmity. That's an even stronger word than enemies. It's not just opposite of it, fights against it. That's the fist that goes in the air and says, I shall not have that one rule over me. And if you're a child of God, you know that's what you used to do. Because once you were blind, and now you see what you used to be. Our faith must originate from the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be given to us by the power of God. And this is why the religion, you know, these ones skip my place there. Our faith is ours, but it does not originate from us. Mankind, in our natural state, we have no spiritual understanding. God is spirit, and we who were once dead in trespasses and sin had no knowledge of who the true and living God was. Folks, this is why there are so many religious people in today's world. You ever notice that? There's religions everywhere. Everybody has this different thought about what religion should be. Nobody wants to have the religion of Holy Scriptures. They want to have their own, one that fits their way. This is why the religious people of that very day, they crucified the Lord of glory. Their belief, their faith, their trust was in something that they were doing or not doing, and it was not in the surety of Jesus Christ. Maybe their faith was in their faith. I believe, so therefore I am. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. We are kept by His power through faith in Him, and the impotent man was healed because he believed God. Now I want to look at some of the great witnesses that the Lord has given us. And I got to be honest with you, folks, this, as I sat down and thought, okay, I've got five different studies we can do of this verse, and when I get to through faith, that ought to be just one study. But I don't know that we're going to be able to cover all of this in just one study, because I like to give us enough time to go back and have some discussion about it in fellowship before our services start. So let's go through a few of these, shall we, in verses chapter 11 of Hebrews. This list of people God has given us to see how they did the things they did that the Lord inspired people to record in Scripture. By faith, it says in verse 4, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By Abel's faith. What was Abel's faith in? It wasn't in something he was doing, was it? No. His daddy, who learned firsthand from God that the only way to clothe the nakedness of mankind is to be clothed by the skins of an animal, by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and He taught His sons. He taught both of them. Cain knew as well as Abel, but Cain did not believe God. Abel did. Abel brought a sacrifice worthy of the Lord. Not the sacrifice itself, but what the sacrifice pointed to. Being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You see, that's why we're declared to be naked. Because we have no righteousness of our own. And we must be righteous to be in the presence of God Himself. And the only way we can have a righteousness that we can call ours is to be in Jesus Christ. To be in His death, as we saw in the baptismal last night. To be in His burial, as we saw in that baptismal. And to be in His resurrection right now. To be righteous in our Savior. Now let's look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Okay, so he should not see death. Folks, do you know that as children of God, we shall not see death? The moment our Lord takes us out of this world that we're walking through now, we will be in the presence of our Savior, living forever. Because of what our Savior has done. He who knew no sin was made my sin, all of my sin, that I would be made righteous in Him. Let's look at another one. By faith, Noah. And I'm not going to go too deep into this. If you'd like to hear a deep study in this, our dear brother Norm brought it out last night, which is just absolutely fantastic. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. How we talked about this last night afterwards. How do we know that Noah had faith in God? Because he obeyed God. How do I know? But what can I say? I know James believes God. It's because he obeyed God. Got into the waters of baptism. Do we obey God perfectly? No. Noah didn't either. He was just a man. But we have one who has obeyed God perfectly for us. Great is His faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness. Oh, what rest and peace we have resting in our Savior. Let's look at the next one, shall we? By faith, Abraham went when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. Put yourself in that boat for just a moment. Do we not kind of do that ourselves? I mean, I don't know where I'm going to go today. The Lord knows where I'm going to go. I think I'm going to go somewhere, but the Lord knows where I'm going to go. I don't know if I'm going home to be with the Lord today, but the Lord knows where I'm going to go. We'll continue on. We may get a little deeper into some of these at another time. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 9. By faith he sojourned, speaking of Abraham, into the land of promise, and as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Again, in verse 17, we see by Abraham again, he acted upon faith, upon what God had told him. When he tried, offered up Isaac, and that he received the promise, offered up his only begotten son. This one boggles my mind. You know, we think, folks, consider these for just a moment. We think, that's great faith. Woo! Lord, if I could just have that kind of faith, to where I could do something that of that magnitude. Do you realize the great faith that He gives us in just believing who He is? It's perfect. It's as great as any example God gives us in His book on any kind of faith. Because it comes from Him. And the fact that we look to Him as God, we rest in Him as the Savior, as the sovereign ruler over everything, that's as great as faith as Abraham offering up his son. He believed God. We believe God. It's the same faith. Let's go on. I'm just going to give you two more. Go down to verse 30. There's a bunch here. between there and there, but we're going to run out of time, so I want to get down to verse 30. And let's look at two more here. By the faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. God told Israel, march around the walls of Jericho for 7 days. Don't worry about attacking. Well, we got to attack this. What is marching going to do? Okay. All right. March around. Blow the trumpets. See the miracle of God right before your face. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab, the very one who was in those walls, perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Just lay down a red ribbon out of the window of your home here, and everybody in your home will be safe. All the other walls are going to fall down. There's going to be a whole lot of people dying. Old people, kids, animals, they're all going to be dying out there. But your family's safe. Why? Because she believed the report of God. Who shall believe our report? Rahab did. I do. You do. Many have heard the word of truth, yet they have not the gift of faith. The gospel of Christ has been preached to you and I, the gospel of grace, not the works, not the gospel of God's Son, His deity and His perfect obedience, His substitutionary atonement, His resurrection, His intercession. You know what? I didn't read that correctly. The gospel of Christ has been preached to us. The gospel of grace, not the gospel of works. The gospel of God's Son has been preached to us. Who He is, His deity, His perfect obedience, His substitutionary atonement, His resurrection, His intercession, how that in Christ the law of God is honored and the justice of God is satisfied. This gospel of Christ was not I left out something in my notes, folks. I apologize about that. Turn over to Romans chapter 4 and we'll bring this to a close here real quick. Romans chapter 4, I'd like to read, if you would, for just a moment, verses 13 through 25. Romans 4, verse 13 through 25. Romans 4, verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world, speaking of Abraham, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of what? See that word? It wasn't by something he was doing. It wasn't about the thing of following the law, which was something the Israelites did. The Jews did vehemently. They did it as good as anybody could do it. Follow that law. And it didn't save any of them. Abraham, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of the none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end of the promise might be the sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is also, which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. He believed God. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Remember, he was 100-something years old. Now when he was about 100 years old, neither yet of the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Amen.
There is so much more to consider in his word on this word faith, but our time is limited, so let's close with these thoughts. Folks, we are kept by his power, as it says. We are kept through faith. By his power, through faith, he has given us, and that faith, that belief, that trust is in his faithful Son, our substitute. It's in who he is. We know that Jesus Christ is not a prophet, he's God Almighty in the flesh. Why do we believe that? Because he says so. People have been telling me that since I was a little child, but it wasn't until 40 years of age when I heard the preacher speaking about the gospel truth that God came to the heart of one of his children and said, "Believe. Follow me." And the power of God brought me to him, just as he's done to each and every one of you if you belong to him. We believe what he did. He perfectly walked this earth in our stead and went to the cross as our substitute. Perfectly. We believe what he accomplished. He washed our sins away. My God sees my sins no more. We believe what he's doing right now. He's sitting on his throne.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't think, let it be, he says. And it is exactly what he says. Making his providence come to be. Turn, if you would, one more verse. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Speaking of all of those lists that our Lord listed in chapter 11, it says in chapter 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, seeing as our faith, which comes to us by the power of God, just as it did with them, just as all of those that the writer of Hebrews listed for us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Amen.